Blog Talk Radio.
It's Friday. Do you know where your IT pro guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now, two guys who were banned from writing warning labels, well, because they're just a big liability. It's Patch and Switch.
You know, I don't know if I should let this music finish or just even comment right now. Like,
I feel like a walking warning label.
You are a walking warning label, my friend.
Good morning.
Good morning. And an hour delayed.
Yes.
Due to daylight savings time, even though you're typically supposed to fall back, right?
Let's fall back in the fall, spring forward in spring.
So we do things in the reverse.
You got it.
Or actually, it has something to do with the fact that you actually crossed the streams and were playing with cotton balls and Q-tips and managed to injure yourself.
You're supposed to keep the Q-tips out of the inner ear canal, apparently. They're not designed to go inside the ear. It's only the outside of the ear. No, it's all good. I had an incident. What was it? It was a dry ice holding competition that I won.
Well, I heard it was something related to a stapler and a ceiling fan.
Someone else was talking about a honey badger in the server room, and I was taking it on or something.
I have two words: Shark Week.
Yeah, Shark Week works well too. Thank you very much for the putting up with our lovely delay. In case you didn't know, we opted not to do the episode last evening to be able to accommodate our one Australian listener, because the one Australian listener didn't bother to respond to the query to say, would you want to listen to us? All the North American and the European folks, they were all accommodating, and we're looking forward to possibly changing the time to being Thursday at 3 o'clock, but we didn't need to. So we're back on regular time. I'm drinking my coffee and
the kind of regular time.
You got it. It's kind of it's 1 hour.
Regular day.
We'll go back on schedule in 2 weeks' time.
Okay. Sounds good. Hey, in the chat room, Ken IT Pro is there. Also, Hank NL, J-Shock. Of course, our friend K.O. Beckman's there. And look, we have a special guest.
Ooh.
Veronica has joined us in the chat room.
She's live. Wow.
She's probably actually not listening to the show.
No. She's working on 17 different monitors at once. She's very much
exactly.
A multitasker.
So, exactly.
Kudos to her for joining us and putting up with us at this time of the day.
Kudos to everybody for putting up with us at this time of day. As, of course, Switch decides he's going to inhale his coffee.
There's no cough button.
Yes, that's right. There's no cough button.
Sorry.
So welcome to the show. It is, of course, a radio call-in show, which means that we want you to call in and join us. If you want to do that, it's a toll number, 646-595-4888, or
if you happen to have signed up for a free Blog Talk Radio chat account,
which of course the folks who are identified as name in the chat room,
right,
instead
as opposed to guest 147, you are welcome to also, I believe there's a link on the main player page to be able to be connected via Skype to the host environment, and we can possibly let you talk.
Yep, you'll connect right into the underground bunker.
Yeah. It took me a while to get here, man. I was worried I wasn't going to make it.
You were worried.
So today's episode is called Beanbag Kitten Farkle. And we'll, of course, go through the regular naming routine at the end of the show.
Absolutely. So the first segment, as you know, those of you who are tried and true listeners to the show, know we actually do this in segments. We actually kind of have an outline of what we're going to talk about, though
it typically doesn't
happen that
way. That's the limit to the extent that we script this. And the first segment is dun, 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 from the trenches.
From the trenches.
Yeah, I need to get that in the soundboard because that's still not...
You need a dun, dun, dun?
I need a better dun, dun, dun.
I'll work on that.
The trenches. I've been going through some great pain, and I don't mean my hand. I love that. At work recently, but I thought I would at least bequeath the floor to you, good sir, Mr. Patch, Mr. Switch, whoever you are this week.
I've been I've been having fun with Dart.
Playing darts in your office again, are we?
No.
You're not supposed to be drinking pints at work while throwing darts at the wall.
I know. I got in trouble for that already.
Okay.
So I've actually stopped doing that. No, when I'm talking about Dart, I'm talking about the Diagnostics and Recovery Toolkit.
whatever it is.
It's part of MDOP.
MDOP or
yeah.
MDOP sort of SA. I don't know. I'm not a client guy. I'm a server guy.
Yep, absolutely. So I've been playing with that with some Dart. I have a machine in my office, which because of the – and we've chatted about this several times – because of the mass amount of moves that we do.
Yes.
I decided to go on a big purge when I cleaned my office and get rid of a bunch of cables. And I think I might have actually gotten rid of the cables that actually connected. And I have two desktops in the office. I normally use Surface.
You realize that only one of those five network jacks in the wall at the Microsoft office buildings actually is plugged in. You have
yes,
to,
that's why
you
I have
You
switch.
Have to get a 10-100 switch to plug into it.
Or a gigabit one, which I have.
You have gigabit?
I do, even though there's probably not gigabit in the building.
Let's say it's probably 100 meg on the back end you're plugging
in. It's at least 10 base C.
Okay.
Right?
Well, at least we got rid of the
ARPNet. The building's old.
At least we got rid of the ARPNet.
Yeah. So anyway, I've been playing with the Diagnostics and Recovery Toolset because this machine has not been online forever. I've actually managed to forget the local administrator password. There's a bunch of data on the machine that I want to get. So why am I using Dart? Well, first of all, the machine actually is locked, meaning that I can't open up the case. I have no idea where the key is either.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Physical security.
Physical security. Yes, absolutely. So I can't get in just to rip the hard drive out and just pull the data
off. You didn't like put like epoxy glue in the USB ports. Like,
I probably did. I don't know. I haven't checked it. I didn't have the local administrator account. The machine hasn't been on so long. It's actually lost its association with the domain. So I started playing with, okay, let's use Dart to go ahead and use Locksmith, right? Okay. Locksmith is a brilliant tool, part of the Diagnostics and Recovery tool set that allows me to reset the local administrative account password. However, as I found out, Dart is very
okay.
In other words, I actually had a bootable USB stick with Dart on it for version 8 and tried that, and Locksmith won't run because this is not the proper version. So on another machine, I actually launched a VM, set up Windows 7, got Dart installed, created another bootable USB stick, and apparently it's even version specific to the type of processor architecture. So 32-bit, 64-bit, you've got to make sure you have the right one.
That's nasty.
Well, it is, but it makes sense, right? Because you different processor architectures, different architecture within the OS. So I've
got to basically have three different Dart sticks walking around with me, potentially.
Well, potentially. I mean, it all depends on what you have in your infrastructure. Or if you were smart, which apparently I wasn't when I set up this machine, to actually install Dart and to have it part of the recovery image so that you can just go ahead and boot into the advanced recovery and use it there. Lesson learned. At any rate, I've managed to figure it out. We've gotten the administrative password reset. I'm actually in the process of moving the data. So that's my From the Trenches story.
Process, not process.
Sorry, process.
Process.
Yes.
Very nice.
That's my story.
You know, we're still talking about disks. About disks at this point, because you had issues with getting data off of your disks.
Yes.
I had inherited the responsibility of looking after an EMC SAN.
Oh.
Four drive trays, terabytes worth of data. That is irrelevant because basically the data is just old VMs no one needs anymore. So I'm literally just repurposing this thing. And I will be the first to admit that, yes, I'm known as a bit of a storage nut. I love storage. But it's been quite some time since I've had to use SAN management software to go ahead and to manage this beast of a box.
Yeah.
And I've been quite spoiled with using Windows Server 2012 and 2012 R2 storage spaces over the last little while. And but you know, we've got this massive SAN sitting there that's just waiting for our Hyper-V boxes to use it as remote storage through Fibre Channel. But I have no clue how to use the EMC SAN software, Service Manager and VNX controller and everything else like that. So I'm doing some self-taught learning on how to be able to get through to it. First off, it's interesting because here I am on my server that has connectivity to this thing. And I want to go off and manage it. And first of all, I have to install Java on my server. Whenever it comes up and it says, you know, over 3 billion devices run Java, when you do the install, it just makes me cringe that it has to be that way. But so Java's up there because it is a Java-based app that's installed. It's a local web resource that they install, and you run this kind of web thing off the local box to be able to do it. But then I go off and I continue to do it, and then it says, no, you need to have the Service Manager on top of this web controller interface, which also requires Java. So I do that. I download it. I finally dig up where to get the source files for it. It's like 481 megs of an installation to be able to manage the SAN. So I go through that, do that install locally in the box. It's all good. Then I go off and launch it, and it says, oh, sorry, you need to have Flash as well. So on my server, I've got to now somehow figure out how to get Flash installed. And, of course, Flash doesn't want to install because it's server 2012 R2. So now I need to go off and get a workstation to be able to go off and try this. And you didn't even know this part. Yesterday, I finally got my workstation up and going, and I got Java on it, I got Flash on it, I installed the different components to it and the additional components. But then, all of a sudden, it's now version specific. It says, sorry, this is not designed to run on Windows 8. It's like, okay. go in compatibility mode. Go into,
right.
You know, give it administrative rights and go off and run in Windows 8 compatibility mode. Nope, doesn't work. Sorry, it doesn't work with this version of Windows. Then I go in and I try again, and I do compatibility mode for Windows 7. Doesn't work. So then I go in and try it again, and I try Windows XP. Doesn't work. Guess which one it worked on?
Windows 95.
Vista.
Vista.
Hey. It worked with Vista.
Awesome. Ledwig's joined us in the chat room. Hey, Ledwig. And he actually says it would have been faster to get a new SAN.
Yeah, I think so. Or maybe there's some, maybe it's like one of those consumer grade routers that can just reach around to the back and press and hold a button for 10 seconds to wipe out all the drives or something. That would have been a lot faster.
Oh, yeah. Like the little thing you stick a pencil into, right?
So picture me with my gimped up hand trying to stick a paperclip in the back of a SAN enclosure to see if I can do a reset. No, not going to happen.
No. Because you do it when it was plugged in.
I know, of course. You know, and I just strip the wires with my teeth or something.
Right, exactly.
Which is rather hard to do if they're fiber optic. It's very difficult to get a good clean bite on them.
Well, you want to be careful about the broken glass, everybody.
You know, that's probably why I've got this little discomfort in my right cheek. That's interesting. I should look into that. The long story down to a slightly shorter story is I managed to get all the different configurations done. I managed to go in and remove all the stuff, remove the host, remove all sort of stuff. But there's still one frickin' storage group I can't get rid of because it is offline. And I can't bring it back online again to reclaim the 10 terabytes of storage space that's in there. And there's no option to right mouse click, make it online. You can't go through a wizard interface to bring it online. Like it's baffling me right now. I've tried every single different permutation of web interface, submenu, triple submenu, turning around backwards, sprinkling holy water on myself as I use the keyboard. It's
so what you
working.
Actually have to do is first you put your right arm in.
Okay.
Then you take your right arm out.
Okay, it's out now.
Yeah, and then you put it back in and you shake it all about. That'll work.
Well, so I've got this, you know, 40 terabyte SAN that I'm trying to get 6 or 7 servers hooked up to, and now it's only a 30 terabyte SAN. So I'm going to be calling that the patch penalty for parity.
but there won't even be parity because it doesn't even work.
Well, I can make a LUN today. All I can say is it's so much easier just to go through some PowerShell stuff and say get dash physical disk and then pipe it towards into a make storage array.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just me, and that's my ass. I'm biased. I'm completely biased. If you cut me, I bleed blue.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's very invigorating to once again get back into the trenches of working with gnarly, nasty SAN stuff. So if any of our 6 listeners out there are EMC gurus or experts, beer's on me if you want to come in and help me out with this thing.
There you go. Beer's on you. We still have no callers. Nobody's really even participating.
Callers?
Is anybody listening?
It's just par for the course, my friend. You know, I enjoy this. Is the chat room saying anything at all?
You know, Hank and Al laughed. I think it probably my hokey pokey move that I did there.
That would work.
But no, again, you can call us in at 646-595-4888 or join us via the Skypes.
Or you can even if you're shy, you know, some IT people are shy, you're welcome just to stay anonymous.
Sure.
And chat inside the chat room.
Absolutely.
We will pick it up live and retort and have a conversation. You're texting as we're working here. Like, we are working, you know. This is work that we're doing.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So that would be the first segment of the show.
Do you have
from the
else?
Trenches? No, dude. I spent the majority of the time, and understand, I was not sitting there doing it all the time, right? There's meetings and emails and PowerPoints and this, that, and the other that I was working on. But yeah, I spent quite a bit of time on trying to get that stuff. But beer money.
I have. Oh, before you do, I got one more to share. An interesting utility that helped collaboration just recently. You know I'm a big fan of OneNote. We actually have a OneNote file that we share between us to be able to at least get the name of the shows down correctly.
And even then,
we don't even use it. The thing is out of sync. It's broken or something like that. But we put that up on SkyDrive. I've been using that over the last little while with some friends and some colleagues to be able to work on a, you know, remote project or project with multiple people at different locations to stay on top of what's going on and configurations and stuff like that for this whole automation stuff that I've been doing for the last, it seems like, eternity. Someone introduced me to a new thing that's actually a website. It's called Trello, T-R-E-L-L-O.
Okay.
And it's basically, picture it as a whiteboard that you're able to go in and have free-form placement of index cards.
Oh, cool.
Anyone can go in and author index cards and comment on them and drop them in different piles on this whiteboard space. That is zero impact on your local machine. There's no synchronization. You have authentication for anybody. And our good friend over at HOL Systems introduced me to that as a way of being able to have work items as a list of tasks of stuff. And he just made three columns. Nice to have, in progress, complete kind of thing.
Oh, very cool.
Another one, I think he made a fourth one, which was STFU, he called it.
I'm not going to translate.
I'll let you figure out what that one means. But
yeah.
That was basically the parts that weren't going to be worked on. And we were basically able to drag stuff between those different areas. And it actually came out to be very lightweight and easy to use, very much more purpose-specific as opposed to the much more multi-purpose, something like OneNote, which I still believe in as being a phenomenal multi-editor tools. And my long tangential segue for why I'm talking about this, besides Trello, is I also noticed that they've enhanced the collaboration and web document editing on all the Word docs. And Excel docs and PowerPoint docs are up on Office Live that you're able to get access to with Outlook. They've had it before, but now they've simply enhanced the capabilities and had some more goodness brought into it in the last little while. So that's kind of cool.
Awesome.
That's kind of my work stuff that I've been working with recently.
Or hardly working.
I'm trying to work. It's hard typing with 6.5 fingers.
Exactly. Second segment of the show.
We're getting like announcements and everything.
We
are now entering the second segment.
This is the second segment. Beer money.
Beer money.
Now, before we get into the beer money, before we get into the money part of the beer money segment, we should do some beer talk.
Beer talk?
Well, it happens anyway.
How is it that most IT chat conversations and, you know, like I know Windows Weekly and Mary Jo and all the rest of those folks that go off and do this and they actually get paid for it, they always talk about beer. They're beer people.
Well, you're IT people.
You like beer.
Yes.
You know, I guess
it's one of those job things.
I can probably name off all the different people on that list, and I know that almost all of them I've drank beer with before. So they also
in
like
the
beer.
Chat room? Yeah.
Yeah. What about beer, man?
So we brew beer.
Yes. This weekend, with my gimpy hand.
With your gimpy hand, and it was awesome.
It was. What did we do? We did a double hop IPA kit from Extract, which was going to have an IBU rating. For those of you that don't know beer, IBU is the amount of bitterness that you're going to have when you drink it. One guy's having an IBU rating of over 100 plus.
Now, for those,
that's insane.
Yes. So that is the bitterness rating.
Yes. And it also will have a high alcohol rating. Probably a 7.5.
Yeah, because I remember we used your little crazy reader scope
refractometer thingy.
Yes, which shows the amount of sugar.
Bends light through sugar water to tell you the amount of bricks that's in it.
Right, and then that amount of bricks then can be translated via mathematical equation or
an app you can put on your phone.
Exactly, because we don't do math.
I don't do the math. Math is hard. Math is hard.
Which talks and so it gives you the potential.
Yeah, basically, it's the amount that you have for the amount of sugar that's been dissolved into the water that will then potentially be digested by the yeast, and you're aiming to say, if I manage to dissolve all that sugar and convert it to alcohol and return this to a level of 1.000 or 1.000, which is water,
yes,
you would have a potential amount of alcohol.
So this particular, you said I don't buy that it's a double IPA. I think this is like a quadruple IPA, if you ask me. But with that IBU rating, what was the other one we did?
That one there was just an ale. Just he picked up an American style ale.
Yeah.
And he also has a very, but it's, his interesting one is his is double hopped.
Yes.
So his is also quite high. His is in the 50s.
Yeah. His IBU is in the 50s.
Which is, to me, I like to drink around 30, 40, 50-ish is a bit much for me, but I'll still drink it. I will never turn down a beer.
No. Well, of course not.
Ever. Unless it's been sitting outside in someone's cooler in 107 degrees Celsius weather or something. Which is carry the two, double it, add 32. That's about 200 degrees. Skunky, I won't drink it.
Yeah,
but his is a dry hop. So basically, you would use 4 ounces or so of hops during the brew process, and then when you're in secondary, which is when everything's all done, and just kind of selling down and cleaning out, you then add the hops again to it. So and fresh hops. It's called dry hopping.
Well, and the great thing about this one that it was kind of an it had some oats.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'll tell you what, I ran to get some pizza because you can't make beer without pizza.
No, I need to eat, man.
And when I pulled into the driveway, even though the garage door was mostly closed, except for enough to bring ventilation in, as we're using 400,000 BTU burners, we're using two of those.
I didn't burn myself during that, but
well,
yeah,
I know, right?
I hooked up an exhaust fan to push stuff out.
Yes. Boy, I'll tell you what, that it was just an amazing smell point. At any rate, we brewed beer, and then there were some pictures sent around about the brew, the beer in the canisters and what it looks like, and the fact that the yeasts are very active and spewing stuff all over the place and erupting like a volcano. And I'm like, is it ready to drink yet?
No, not yet.
So the one question that was asked while we were brewing is, I'm typically, I don't actually brew the beer.
No.
I'm a consultant.
Yes. You are a highly paid and prized tasting consultant in our brew-making family.
So basically what I do is I sit on a chair while drinking a beer and tell you all the things you guys are doing wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you occasionally will,
I'll pitch in. Hey, it would taste better if we did X, Y, or Z. Yeah, those kinds of things.
You might stir a pot once or something.
Well, make sure it doesn't boil over. But the main reason why I don't brew... it's because of the post that I made after the pictures went around. Is it ready to drink yet? I don't know how you guys do this, how you even have the patience to do this. All right, we've gotten off on a tangent because we were talking about beer money, beer. We were making beer. Before that, we even hung shelves in the garage.
It was
like a mandate.
It was a mandate for sure. But you know what? There was technology in use.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, a lot of technology in use.
Yeah, the technology in use that we had, besides various different timers and applications on the phone and that sort of stuff that we were using, we also had, I had my Dell XP or XFR XT2.
Yeah,
laptop.
This is the indestructible laptop that
I've broken
to
four times.
Yes.
And gotten repaired 4 times. and I have just upgraded to 8.1.
Yes.
And it still works.
It does. It was touchscreen.
It's a touchscreen laptop.
It completely threw me off. I'm like, because it's now become habit for me to touch,
of course,
machines, because I'm used to having a touchscreen now with my Surface and also with my other machine, my Asus machine. It was awesome. And, of course, that was connected into some PC speakers.
Yeah.
Because you got to have music.
Of course. And I'm trying to work out a way that we can get, mostly for the beer consultant, some kind of sports being played. I don't watch sports that much, but you...
Well, because we're doing this during college football season, usually on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
We do need some football.
So I need to somehow get some kind of streaming going on or something like that, either on the XFR XT2 or else hook up some kind of a...
You know what? I think
TV.
I think this is an excuse to go out and get a 55-inch TV for the garage.
I think, you know what? Maybe this will be the project. What do you guys call this down here? It's coming up Black Friday or something?
Black Friday.
Maybe I should find myself a half-decent deal for a crappy TV from Black Friday or something.
Absolutely. That sounds fantastic.
I've never been to Black Friday. What is Black Friday? Is it?
So Black Friday is the day after Thanksgiving.
And
actually, it's gotten to the point now where some stores are actually opening on Thanksgiving Day.
So when is Thanksgiving's on the weekend, though, isn't it?
No, it's on Thursday.
Thanksgiving's a Thursday?
Yes.
How did I not know this?
I don't know.
I thought Thanksgiving was weekends.
No. Well, it's a long weekend, right? So it starts Thursday, right? And then typically we'll have Friday off or take Friday off
okay.
the weekend.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Black Friday is the Friday after Thanksgiving where the stores open obnoxiously early, 2, 3 in the morning, and they have incredible sales.
Okay.
So what you can basically do is you can spend all day Thursday talking about how thankful you are and then turn around on Friday and beat people up trying to get the best deal.
You know what? I keep Pierre Romain. Hey, esti tabarnak, qu'est-ce que tu fais ici? If you're trying to connect to us with Skype, you have to actually not call us with Skype.
You can't call Patch and Switch.
You have to use the web interface
yeah.
and an account to be able to connect up with us. He's tried to ping us 3 times to say something. So.
Or you can use the phone number, which is 646-595-4888.
No, see, that would cost money in Canada, and I don't know how much that would be. Probably $1.380 times 2 with the exchange. I don't know.
I don't carry the one. Figure it out. Yeah. Anyway, so beer money. Have you done anything to earn beer money from a technical perspective? In other words, the things that you do to help out your neighbors.
I have an internal angst debate going on.
Okay.
I am a server hugger. You know this. You know this well.
Exactly.
I also am...
Which explains why the fan damage on your hand.
You got
a little too close.
It's a big exhaust fan. you also have to understand that I am also embracing the cloud technologies that are out there as well.
Yeah.
Because I understand how they can work together in concert with and also to augment and also to potentially replace certain services in the future and that sort of stuff. But my internal angst that I have going on right now is, do I still publicly maintain a server in my house? Because I currently am enjoying using Server 2011 Essentials, and I'm contemplating going with 2012 R2. But in all honesty, I'm looking at this. I like having it so that my wife and kids and myself have individual user accounts that we can sign on to any of the 5 or 6 different machines in the house
mm-hmm.
and have a single password to be able to do it. I don't have to go and preset up live IDs on all the different Windows 8.1 machines. Like, we have a caller.
Yes.
Okay, we'll get to
continue the thought.
Okay. So I have to I like having a single account that I maintain, like a domain. It's simple to do.
Yes.
Do I go in and do an upgrade to be able to go to 2012 R2, which actually involves basically only preserving the domain accounts?
Yes.
Nuking the domain and then doing controller, which is the server essentials box, and then bringing the 2012 R2 server essentials box online. Or do I simply say, screw it, go off to the cloud and just use the live IDs in all my workstations that I have, preset up the user accounts, because my Active Directory equivalent federation, if you will, my authentication mechanism would be live, so it still would only be one user ID and password for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have to worry about changing their password and having to change on all 5 workstations like you did in the old days. What do I do, oh great one?
You know, I'm going to throw the question out to our wonderful listening audience.
I'm honestly torn. And
so
while they contemplate that, we should probably answer this call.
Absolutely. If you're participating in the chat room, answer Rick's question, or we're going to answer this call. We still haven't found a producer, so we're going to go ahead we're going to put the call on live.
If you start to swear or have any kind of obscenities, we'll have to drop you.
Caller, who's this?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Oh, it's
this is
Pierre
Romain from Canada.
Pierre Romain from Canada. Uh-huh.
Go Canadien.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what's
and
up,
you're telling people to call in and not to swear, but Rick, pretty good job at it just a minute ago.
Yeah,
I meant to say tabarnouche. I'm sorry.
Well, it was French. Nobody understood it except for the two of you.
Have a very large. We have a large population of French listeners.
Yes. What's happening, Pierre?
Pierre and myself.
How you doing, my friends?
Well, I'm going to ask you the question.
Oh,
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Ask yours first. I'll be
polite. I need to be polite because we're Canadian. We're going to keep on saying sorry to each other, right? So maybe you should.
I was just
going to
devolve
into
sorry. Oh, sorry.
I was just listening to your conversation on home servers, and then I actually just going through that a couple of weeks ago, where I finally killed my old home server that I had and replaced it with a 2012 R2. But now my wife and kids actually have to have a password, and I'm have a small revolt on my hands because they don't see the point of in the house having to have a username and a password to access their stuff.
Well, I know that you can still enforce a group policy without using the interface tools to be able to say you do not need to have a password. It can be blank. You can override that.
Yeah,
the,
I know.
The G interface only gives you the slider ability to have a non-complex password. But you can go down to the GPO and change that, because I had a similar issue.
So there's a couple answers to your question in the chat room. Hang on, Pierre. Yes, J-Shock says set up 12 DCs at home minimum. K.O. Beckman says switch to Novell. And then Victoria had to chime in and say, even the buses in Canada say, sorry, out of order. All right, go ahead, Pierre, go ahead. So ultimately, you've got a revolt on your hands because of the password situation, which, in all honesty, because of the amount of online, you know, kid gaming that's going on in the houses, I don't know that that's too big of an issue. But, Pierre, are you thinking, do you keep a dedicated server in the house, or do you just punt and go to the cloud?
Actually, I have a hybrid.
You're hybrid.
So I do have a hybrid. So I do
hybrid.
Have a dedicated
right.
server in the house, but it does sync all of its data. So all of the pictures from my daughter's account, my wife's account, my account, all get aggregated and then synced to a SkyDrive account that we have with 100 gigs worth of data on there. So it's both our offsite backup. And both a location where we're in, when we were in Florida visiting my parents, and say, hey, you want to see the pictures of Kelsey's graduation or so on? We just go onto SkyDrive and all our pictures are there. We don't have to worry about having them all in the house.
You know, nice. I think that the show is going to go hybrid.
Yeah.
The Patch and Switch show is going hybrid.
We are?
Instead of beer money, it's vodka and beer money. Hybrid.
I like.
We are going hybrid. We are going hybrid. That's it. You know what? I've made the call. I've made the decision.
Nice. Can we make
Pierre,
can we make it bourbon
now.
Money?
Hey, that's going too far. That's only. Oh wait, if you add the bourbon,
a bourbon smoked
to
barrel,
the,
oak barrel,
yeah.
to be able to put the beer in.
Put the beer in. Yeah, that'll work. Hey, Pierre, thanks for your call, man.
No problem. Anytime, boys.
Cheers. All right.
Are you doing call control? Am I doing call control?
I've got it.
Do I press button? Oh, it's gone. It
yes.
disappeared.
Yes. The caller has hung up. Okay. So that's one question. But have you actually done anything to earn beer money? Sorry. We've gone hybrid now. Vodka and beer money.
Have I done anything to earn it?
Well, because that's the point of the segment, buddy.
I successfully upgraded my wife's laptop to 8.1 without her freaking out at me.
Oh, that's good.
I had permission ahead of time to touch the laptop, which is very important, that is good. I even demonstrated last night something new I learned with 8.1 on my RT device.
Yeah.
First generation RT device, or I guess we're just calling them Surface devices now. I learned, because I'd never even thought of this, by simply having your Xbox 360 turned on, attached to your HDMI TV, I can go in and play whatever kind of media I want and then simply swipe to the side on the right side to bring up the charms, hit devices, and then choose the Xbox in question as a destination point to be able to play my media. I should know this. This is called Play 2 in the old way. I didn't even think that I could do that with my RT device. So I was watching Ping episode 192. I wanted to show my wife what it looked like, and I just went to the Channel 9 website, started to play the media, and then I did a swipe to the side, hit devices, and boom. It's on the TV.
Yes. He's like all over. He's like, this is awesome. Yeah.
And then, of course, by the very end of the video, I wanted to play a different video, and I was stuck in it, so I didn't know what I was doing. So I said, don't look behind the curtain. It's fine. That's good.
Awesome. I have been doing a ton of vodka beer money, basically rebuilding PCs.
Oh, nice.
So just something, I know we've kind of talked out this segment, and we've got to move on with the 11 minutes that we have left in the show before the lady cuts us off. Intel has some drivers related to storage and being able to do some advanced disk management stuff. And I totally forget the name.
I want to call them IRTs or something like that.
Yeah, something along those lines. At any rate, with version 11.0, 11.1, until you get to 11.5, I've noticed an interesting thing. I don't know if it's true for all of them, but for this particular model, I believe it was actually a Dell PC I was working on. It's very interesting that driver actually had a memory leak. and was causing the operating system to not work very well. So I don't know that one that came with the system, and Windows Update wasn't seeing that there was an update there for that driver.
It's a constant
right?
of staying up to date with the most current tested working driver, right?
Exactly, exactly.
We know that everyone else at beer money level are home friends and relatives don't do driver updates on their systems.
Right, and that's what the situation was. So actually managed to figure out what the issue was, to you know, remove the driver, reinstall the new driver, and it's amazing how quickly that PC works now. Because I didn't understand. I'm like, this machine's got like 8 gig of RAM or 12 gig of RAM.
How'd you find your memory leak?
Actually, I was
is this
watching.
This moment?
Well, actually, I was watching via a performance monitor.
Yeah.
Just looking and seeing what was being used memory-wise, because the machine, it's an i5 with, you know, probably 12 gig of RAM. It was running like a dog.
It should be fine.
And I watched this thing, and I'm like, well, why is this process taking up so much? And so I expanded it off, and I downloaded, you know, some...
Process monitor, exactly.
The Mark Krasinovich tool, and checked into it, and I'm like, hey, look at this. This probably shouldn't be doing this. So I did a quick web search on it. And immediately found out that, hey, yeah, that particular version of the driver has an issue. So, yeah, that's what I did to earn my vodka beer money this week.
Bang. Good stuff, man.
Hey, have you done any random spending? Random spending being the things that we like to buy.
I'm going to say we need a cash.
Toys,
oh,
yeah.
We do have a cash register.
I do have a cash register. Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Toys that we like to buy. Geek toys.
Well, up until being able to find the option of being able to stream content to my Xbox, which is limited to media, so I can't actually do a screen share.
Right.
It's limited to media being replayed through whatever app that's a modern app. It can't be a desktop-based browser. It must be a modern browser. I was exploring Miracast capabilities.
Yes.
And so there are a couple of different Miracast devices. I was going to pull the gun, or what was it?
Pull the trigger. You should not
I'm
be
from
pulling
Canada.
Guns.
We don't have firearms up there, okay?
Pull the trigger.
Pull the trigger and purchase.
Eh?
We don't have Amazon up there either. Actually, no, we do have Amazon now.
Yeah.
It's not as good as the American Amazon, but it's still Amazon. they have a number of different Miracast devices, and I had always been doing my research and figuring out that the one from Netgear was the best one.
Okay.
But apparently it's not the best one.
No?
There's a better one. And I'm blanking on the name right now. And
if only there was a device that enabled you to actually go in and search.
If only there was some kind of service that I could go to and search for this one here. So while I'm searching for that.
So I have a lot of random spending lately. It's not even
September bonus month anymore. Like,
No. Nothing major, no major purchases, just lots of, you know, cables, garage hanging things, everything else. Veronica says pulling the gun on Meerkats, and Legwood wants us to call PETA now.
Meerkats?
Yes. Do they have those in Canada?
With Meerkats?
No, they're Australian.
What's a Meerkat?
It's like the
That's
dude...
a bobcat kind of thing?
No. It's
like a front-end loader?
Okay, so the Lion King.
Yeah.
The cartoon The Lion King,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
The dude that kind of stands up, the tall, skinny dude who's walking around, that's a meerkat.
Oh, no, we don't have those in Canada.
Who hangs around with the warthog.
They'd freeze their butts off in Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's Timon. Like, so you got Pumbaa, who's... Yeah, it's Timon. And and just as I say that, Legwig pops it up in the chat room saying it's Timon. So that's a meerkat.
So,
no, we are not pulling guns on meerkats, Veronica.
What?
You're still searching, aren't you?
No, I've almost got it, I think.
This is why we love live radio, folks. Okay, so I bought just lots of little kind of gadgets. Oh, actually, you know what? I do have a lot of beer money. I bought new phones.
What?
I have new phones.
At the house?
No, cell phones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you
so I decided
though.
To upgrade. I had the HTC 8X, which I actually really, really liked. I loved the form factor. But it was having some random issues with the headphones. And to me, obviously, you know, headphones and having music available to me at all times, whether I'm actually walking around, I have to have my earbuds in.
Yes.
Had some issues there. So I got the Nokia.
Nokia.
Nokia. Nokia. Nokia. However you want to say it.
Nokia.
I have the 928.
Nokia.
Yes. I have the 928. Love this phone.
Yeah.
I mentioned that I love this phone.
Still not as good as my 1020.
And so. And the Nokia, well, but see, here's the thing. I don't need to walk around with a 400
megapixel
camera.
Oh, it's nice.
It's just, I just don't take a lot of photos.
I'm a photo guy.
You know, I have a rule, right? Once the vodka slash beer starts flowing, the no
away.
Photos. Exactly. Yeah. So I don't use the camera, but love the phone. It actually sounds good, too. When you actually use it as a phone,
yeah.
It sounds amazing.
Nice.
Anyway.
The name of the Miracast device that I'm exploring now is called ActionTech, ActionTech. And it is specifically the SBWD100A with a silent Q at the end. That one there apparently is
silent Q? How do you know it's a silent Q?
Because it's got a little itrema over top of it or something. Anyway, it looks good. That one there apparently is it's slightly more money than the Netgear one, but that one there apparently is the current internet favorite of Miracast devices because the RT version 2, which is just called a Surface, the existing Surface Pro and the existing Surface 2 Pro
yes.
All support Miracast because of their Intel built-in drivers.
Yes.
So, yeah. And the difference is because you basically, no matter what you're doing, right mouse, or you swipe to the charms and then you say basically devices.
Mm-hmm.
Is it devices or is it share? No, it's devices. And basically it shows up as another monitor.
Awesome.
So you can put anything up there as opposed to just media.
Fantastic. I love this technology. And we're coming up on another device that's coming out in just a matter of weeks.
We should get jobs working for a technology company.
That would be so fantastic.
Anyone would hire us?
I'd know.
So what's the other piece of technology coming up?
Have you seen your hand? Really?
I'd hide it during the interview.
The Xbox One, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all ready for the Xbox One.
Okay.
I'm all ready to play some Madden. I'm all ready to play some FIFA.
No, I gotta ask you the question.
So after watching the Sounders last night, I'm not quite sure I want to see any soccer.
The stuff that I hear on the net, and you never take it. Whatever's on the net's true, right? They're talking about the resolution as an issue.
It's apparently a decision that's been made by some game designing company.
Exactly what I wanted to say. My developer friend, you know Mark Falco,
yes.
I asked him the same question. He says, dude, the dev shops choose what resolution they want to run at.
Yeah.
And they choose it for various different reasons. And, you know, it's a matter of which games they have for different depths of stuff. And he gave me the perfect example, and I totally get it now. Dead Rising, version 3.
Yeah.
You know the game?
Yes, of course.
What's
zombies.
Right. Killing how many zombies?
As many zombies as you can.
And so picture yourself inside of a shopping mall, like the game is set, with a bazillion, trillion, quadrillion zombies. You need to have a lower resolution to be able to handle that performance compared to Forza at 1020p.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And so the basic debate here is that you've got some people are making games only at 720 and some are making it at 1020. So that's kind of that's the issue there.
Yes.
Not an issue for me.
The best part is, as Mr. Ballmer said, don't worry. It's only software.
Exactly.
We can make changes.
We can make charges.
We're almost out of time, dude.
We are.
But we finished we did all sections. We did trenches, beer money, random spending.
Yep.
Last one's name and segment.
Name the next show, because our next show is going to be in 2 weeks' time.
I think we are going to put Veronica on the spot to say, spit out the first word that comes to your mind right now, and that will be the first word that we're going
to
use.
It has to be appropriate. Veronica, you've got to hurry, because we only have 2 minutes left. No, that's Hank. Hank will use your word as well, because I like it.
Hank is the second runner-up, just in case. But Veronica, we're...
Come on, Veronica, the pressure's on.
She's listening. She's probably tuned us out.
She says coffee. Nice. That's the first word in my head. I'm going to go with Hank's Vertex.
Texans. I said that because I'm looking at your T-shirt.
You're looking at my shirt. Yes, of course. So, yeah.
So
again, we're not going to go there.
Coffee
Vertex Texans.
Texan.
Exactly. That is the name of the next show, which will be in 2 weeks' time back at our regularly scheduled broadcast.
Right.
Am I going to be here? Yeah, I'm going
to
be here.
Okay. Do you want me to send you a meeting request? Because
yeah, you should probably do that, right? Because,
You are?
Yes.
So that would be...
But I can't talk about it.
22nd of November.
Yes.
That's release day.
That is... Is that Black Friday?
I don't know if it is.
That might be Black Friday. That might be a holiday. Or is it the week after?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I can't figure this whole thing out.
Roll the music.
If only there was a calendar that actually had a listing of...
American holidays?
All the holidays on it. Yeah. Oh, look. It's the music.
I need a better slider on this. And it's my biggest complaint with the software. Well, there's a lot of complaints with the software. But
we need better faders.
I know that Jay Schock is keeping a running list of complaints on how to do this better.
Veronica says Thanksgiving is the week after. Hey, thank everybody in the chat room. Ken IT Pro, Hank NL, J Shock, K.O. Beckman, Legwig, Veronica.
And
also,
hey,
I know my friend. I know my friend. Wish. Okay, not on Wish. In the SoCal.
I got to say merci to Pierre Roman for actually calling in and making it through.
Uh-huh. Pierre Roman. That's it for another exciting episode of the Passion Switch Show. We'll see you in 2 weeks, folks.
Have a weekend.